Hey everybody, welcome to Apartment 4D. I almost forgot the name of our podcast. The podcast all about New Girl. I'm your host, Jill, here with Joe. Joe.
Yes.
That's gotta be a record for how quickly we've lost your attention. And Hevs.
Hi everybody.
We're here on Zoom, unfortunately, to discuss season 5, episode 6, Reagan. But before we do, we'll quickly pass around the feeling stick. I will start to let everybody know that we are taking a break again next week. We do know we're a little bit more break heavy than usual, but I would like to point out that Maya and Caden's, Heather, calm down. Heather's pretending to be passed out on camera. Mine and Joe's son, Caden, is just entering his senior year. And we just finished filling out one of his college applications. He's been invited to apply to some colleges early. And we just have a lot of other things going on right now. And so a couple more breaks than usual over the next 12 months might happen. And we appreciate you sticking with us. Plus, it is our preference to try and do them in person when we can. So a 1 week break. And also Jake Johnson has a new movie coming out on Netflix that is about this little boy who loses like his stuffed animal and the stuffed animal's journey back to him. And I don't think I'll be able to watch it because it looks so cute. And I'm really into inanimate objects and stuffed animals.
A stuffy.
I think it's called like Finding Ollie, or it has the word Ollie in it. You can't miss it. The previews are everywhere right now. Joe,
Johnson have a stuffy?
His son in the movie.
Oh, his son.
Joe, did you have a feeling stick?
For this episode? No.
Heather.
Yes. Okay, so we all love Rob Reiner. So on Tubi, he directed and produced a movie called So It Goes, sort of a sweet light film. I didn't finish it. It was too saccharine for me, too sweet. And then there's also a movie on Netflix, on Tubi, called Perfect Family. And I thought it was with Zooey Deschanel. It's with Emily Deschanel,
her sister.
Yeah, I didn't even know she had siblings.
Oh wow, Hevs.
Do they look alike?
Yeah, I thought it was her.
Emily's an actress too, and actually they did like the karaoke car thing with the Property Brothers, and that's how she met her. Now they're not
the
married.
Karaoke car thing Beyonce? With James Corden.
Right. And then it took off like a spinoff without him that was like on Apple TV or something, where the celebrities are just in the car together. And because they're siblings and the Property Brothers are siblings, they put them together for an episode. And that's how Zooey met her now boyfriend, who's one of the Property Brothers.
Oh, God.
Why does that upset you?
Because I don't know.
That's what the kids call a meet cute. It's not weird. It's cool. I'm going to move on to the Netflix description for season 5, episode 6, Reagan, which is Nick rents out Jess's room to an attractive pharmaceutical sales rep named Reagan, but it seems the bisexual Reagan has some history with Cece. Joe, what's your Joe Flicks?
In this episode, you know, it's, I would say, you know, never burn the bridges that you cross. And the reason I say that is you have to watch the episode.
I did watch the episode.
And the episode has a history of Cece and Megan Fox.
Reagan, correct. Joe, you must be excited we're finally at the Megan Fox episode, since you try to list her as your favorite part of every season.
Yeah. Well, they were roommates house.
Nope, they weren't roommates, but we'll get there.
So they were in their MTV house together.
And they were at the beach house, like for a day. They announced a video together. They hooked up, but we're going to get there when we discuss the episode.
Yeah. Well, if she burned that bridge, she has no place to stay and she gets stuck in the lobster room.
Right. Hevs, were you going to say something?
No.
Great. So guest stars. I'm confused too. Guest stars from this episode include, no surprise, Megan Fox as Reagan. We open in the bar. Cece is bartending and getting hit on, but Schmidt is so jealous and she's not wearing a ring yet that he interrupts, and we find out he's really affecting her tips. Nick turns down a girl who's basically stalking him, has a total crush on him. I get where you're coming from, girl in the bar. And tells Allie,
Nick has groupies.
Groupies, yeah. And tells Allie and Winston he wants magic, the music to swell, wind to blow when he sees a girl, and that's how he knows that he'll like her. He claims he's in the prime of his life when Allie suggests he's running out of time and needs to lower his standards, where he tries to move a keg and gets her. Joe, Nick reminds me a little of you in this, only because you used to have to move a lot of kegs and hurt your back.
I actually blew out my knee moving a keg once, but I mean, yeah, those aren't light. Those kegs weigh a good 80, 90 pounds. So that was a quite impressive feat. And he smushed all his bones.
Smushed them, exactly. Very medical, technical term. So in their hospital lobby, and there's some old men in the lobby who say, hey, you're in the old man club. And Nick turns to Winston and says, did you hear that? And he says, yeah, because I'm sitting closer than you.
Winston, like, of course, along for the ride.
Exactly. So supportive. So sweet.
The better line there, though, the better line is, hi, I'm Nick. Nicholas for long.
We're not there yet.
That was funny. First,
Nick starts talking about that show, quote, Sex in the City.
Oh.
Because they could never get away with calling a show Sex in the City.
Right.
Him and Winston.
Go ahead. And it's the three girls and the older one.
The older one, yeah.
I hope Kim Cattrall didn't see that episode.
He's like, there's Miranda and the other one and the older one.
Older one. I love like you, Kim. You were my favorite.
It sounds like Joe describing a TV show. There's the person with the girl and the guy.
Yeah.
So they are promised to keep each other from dreaming and keeping their expectations for dates realistic. When Reagan comes in, there's music. She's tossing her hair and it's magic. The doctor is hiding from her. So she starts yelling and not being like supportive of buying pharmaceuticals from her. So she starts yelling the side effects, which totally contradict each other. Cause she's like diarrhea, constipation, like a whole crazy list of things. And she, when he says,
oh, that was funny.
Very. When she says there's anything else I could do for you, she's like, yeah, I need a hotel room for the month because I'm staying at the something Red Lodge and seafood hut. And Nick comes up and says, we have a room. And Joe, what happens next?
Let's see. That's when he goes, my name is Nicholas Verlon.
Right. And just babbles and is in embarrassment. And Winston's like, this is a disaster. And she says all the things she needs. And he says they have all of them, including a rain shower. And he's like, well, how funny. We're installing that today.
Are rain showers real? Do those exist? Or is that?
We had a rain shower.
We did.
Yeah.
You guys did?
Yeah. A smaller one than the one Nick tries to install, but we have the concept. And then we have
like a nice bathroom you had remodeled.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
But Nick tries to put up the size of an air conditioning return. That was a huge rain shower.
An air conditioning return. And it's such a small shower.
I know. With all the duct tape and everything. She goes, it looks like a child put it up.
Right.
He did. A kid I adopted in the Big Brother program.
So we're in the loft. Nick's trying to install it. Cece and Schmidt come in. They're still arguing because Schmidt's jealous. Reagan gets there and she says to Schmidt, you must have been a very large child. She can like read everybody.
Yeah.
Recognizes Cece and says MTV Beach House 2003. And Schmidt goes, Cece, did you get to announce a video and yell? Which was the epitome of coolness. We all wanted to do that.
Yes.
Desperately.
And we were huge fans of the Beach House.
We were Jenny McCarthy.
Yes, we actually like the old ones too. What was the girl, that beautiful black woman with
downtown Julie Brown? I don't think she's at the Beach House. I think she was just, she might have been.
Loved her.
So anyways, Cece says, yes, that's true. And then Reagan says, and we hooked up. And she says, that's also true. And Schmidt starts humming and is unable to talk. And Reagan's like, that was a big summer for me. I forgave my mom. I realized I was bisexual. Then Schmidt starts doing the solo from Drumline. Because
that's what he does when he gets nervous, Cece said.
Well, when he has to process a lot of information. We've known him for 5 years now, and it's the first time he's done it, but it was funny.
It's so a Nick Cannon solo.
Nick Cannon solo from Drumline. And then when Cece's trying to talk to him, he goes, hold on. And he has to take the sticks and like put them away in this like side pocket. So funny. And he says he's fine. We go into Nick's room because Winston's basically trying to ruin things for him, and there's candles everywhere. And he starts to ramble about like all these ways to make him impressive and health and fitness. And Winston goes, is that a bowl of mashed potatoes under your bed?
Oh, that was hilarious. At least I
hope it is.
Of course, how could he redecorate the room and not see the mashed potatoes?
Well, there's a time he had the full milk. I mean, yes, he has a lot going on there. He lost the full glass of milk.
That, I mean, he totally cleaned up his room. There were no clothes on the floor, nothing. It was all candles.
He had like drapes, like black and white drapes. His bed was made. It was weird. It was a creepy vibe for him.
It was just not something Nick would do.
No. So then they're in the bathroom to see the rain shower, which is put up with tape. And when they're done discussing it, she says it has to work and have water come out. She looks at Winston and she goes, you have a cat. It's just obvious.
And I don't think she meant it as a compliment.
No. Then Cece cuts her finger and Reagan's helping her since she has all these pharmaceutical things to put something on it. And Schmidt says, back off, beach house, to Reagan.
Yeah, he does.
Totally freaks out, blows it out of proportion. Cece leaves thinking he doesn't trust her. He's sitting alone in his room in the dark eating a block of cheese when Reagan comes in and says she's leaving and she doesn't really want all these French shenanigans anyway. And they argue and he's like, you did this, you have to fix it, which makes no sense because she didn't really do anything.
She didn't do anything.
Before we learn more about that, we're at the bar where we have a very short recent flashback to when Nick was drowning in the shower and Winston wouldn't help him, but squirted conditioner on him as a metaphor. For what, I don't know. So he says,
drowning in the shower is something I would do.
It literally is. I was just talking to my friends at the pool about how people can drown in like a foot of water. And I thought to myself, Heather could do that.
Oh yeah, I've done that.
I think they meant babies, but also Heather's. So he says he has no shot with Reagan because she's bisexual. That means she likes men and women. Winston, that's too many people. That's all the people. I think of that line all the time when someone says they're bisexual.
Oh, you do?
I just think that's all the people.
Now I'm going to start thinking that.
So back at the loft, Reagan is like, if you want everyone to know you're with Cece, you would have got her a ring. But he says, no ring's good enough. And she said, is no ring good enough? Or do you think you're not good enough? And they have like a heart to heart. He realizes what's going on. He goes, let's go get Cece. Let's go together. And she's like, I'm not in this, but ends up going anyway. We're at the bar where Nick's finally asking the girl out, and we knew would say yes. And Schmidt comes in and apologizes and gives Cece an invisible ring, which is, here's my trust, but they decide they're going to get a real ring too. Mm-hmm. Reagan goes up to Nick and says, I did that, which is funny because she didn't want any part of it. And she wasn't taking responsibility, but now she's taking credit. He says he'll get her a drink, but he still has smush back. So she goes and makes a perfect old fashioned slow motion with music and everyone staring at her, and Winston and, Nick at the same time say magic, and Allie says, all I saw was an attractive girl make a drink, not pay for it, and leave. And like, oh, we gotta go get her. And I love how Winston's like, come on, let's go. And Allie's like, no. And he goes, okay, I'll call you with an update. And she's like, no. He's like, I'll text you with an update. And she's like, no.
But I want to just back up a little bit before they got to the bar. She said, Reagan said that Jess's bedroom made her racist against white people.
She wanted to remove everything that made her feel racist against white people. Right. And then Winston's like, so it's everything Jess owns is what she wants to get rid of. And Nick's like, no problem.
Like the knitting, the handbags, everything.
Loves her handbag collection.
She really does.
So
Jess has been at jury duty forever.
Yeah.
Two episodes. Yeah.
It feels like forever.
It does. So they're at the Lobster Lodge hotel place, and Elizabeth Merriweather, the creator of New Girl, plays the person who works at the hotel who lets them in the room. who when they try and talk to her says, I don't speak English.
That's Elizabeth Merriweather.
Yeah, where are you from? Outside Connecticut.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love how she's speaking in English.
Exactly. Yeah. So deadpan. So they hide in the room and try to surprise Reagan, but she has headphones on and doesn't hear them. So Nick sneaks up behind her where she kicks him. And she's like, you know, I like being a loner. People don't break into my hotel room. And they have a cheesy sort of just like coming together, group hug. Oh, be our friend. You know, you want to hang out with us sort of thing. Then at the end, the bathroom shower explodes with water. Cece goes in to help her. It sounds like they're hooking up again. And instead of helping them, Schmidt decides to try and be cool with it and walk away while the bathroom's flooding. And that is the episode. Whew, not too bad. That was pretty quick.
Wait, there's a part I want to back up to where Schmidt uses air quotes.
Okay.
Oh, you're too cool to have seen the wedding planner.
Oh, does he use air quotes in that? And yeah. Winston goes, I've seen it. Yeah. Okay, so there's no favorite dress look, but we'll go to best dressed. I'm going to kick it off because I'm so excited. Towards the end scene, Winston is wearing like a crew neck sweatshirt that's gray and has flowers all over.
Black flower.
But he's pulling it off. Like, no offense, Joe could not pull that off. No offense, Joe.
I hope Joe would want to pull that off.
I don't wear anything with flowers.
Joe, who's your best dressed? For this episode.
Let me see. I would have to say it's a tough one because I don't know if anyone was the best dressed. Probably Megan Fox walking into the hospital.
That's a good one. A different look for the show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
No one really dresses corporate.
Yeah, that was probably the best dressed, but no one really dressed up for this episode.
Hevs?
Oh, I'll just say one thing. I didn't pick her for best dressed. But it's so cool how whoever like wrote it and thought of everything, they made her the complete opposite of Jess. Because if they tried to have someone Jess like, it wouldn't have worked.
No, personality, her look, the straight hair, the fitted clothes,
her confidence.
Yes.
So,
go ahead.
For me, for the best dress though. Mm-hmm. I went with Winnie B because the sweatshirt is hilarious.
Right.
The floral one. But also I thought it was subtle and cool. At the first bar scene, him and Allie are both in like, not their uniforms, but she has an LAPD sweatshirt on. And it was just a nice touch. His t-shirt said LAPD. And then also I gave a best dress to
the whole cast, apparently. The whole cast, apparently.
No, it's all just Winston.
Oh.
Because I did the LAPD, that was Winston, the floral sweatshirt, Winston. And then also Winston, in his dreams, he's wearing a skirt on a horse.
Yes.
So I threw that in too. So my best dressed is Winston.
Okay. Favorite Schmidt moment. Joe, do you have one?
I would have to say it's probably him processing Cece and Reagan with the drum line.
That was good.
I love how he put the sticks away. And then when he says he's fine and he backs up and starts the solo again.
Yeah.
And she goes, Reagan goes, why does he sound like he's got a small vacuum in his mouth? Yes.
She's got some good lines.
He does. Hevs, your favorite Schmidt moment?
Well, I had to back off beach house because anything about the beach house, that just thrilled me because I'm such a great beach house. Yeah. And then also when he did the air quotes for too cool, because that reminded me of Joe.
Oh, Joe loves
a good air quote.
An extended finger air quote.
Yeah. Joe has a nice air
quote. Y'all know about the poetry packets.
Yes, we do.
So that brings us to jar count, which is at a 0. Oh, my favorite was drumline, like Joe said. Jar count 0. Favorite funniest moment overall. Mine was anytime Nick was displaying his crush behavior. I'm very goofy, so I find it very relatable. And it was cute, although I don't like seeing him have a crush on someone who isn't Jess. Heather, what was your favorite or funniest moment overall?
It was the entire hotel room scene. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just so funny because she has her headphones on and she doesn't know they're there.
It's very funny.
She kicks Nick.
She kicks him so hard. I can't see because I got kicked in the face.
And he's on the floor.
Joe?
It was funny.
So Nick said he's too old for crushes.
Right. Yes.
Remember, he's like, I'm too old for crushes.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably say the best scene, I like when they're in the bar and then there's that girl on the end. He goes, okay, I'm going to go ask that girl who is definite yes. Ow.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then her making the old fashioned, that scene was hilarious. Because it looked like there was an orange, she was like doing an orange peel. I don't know what's an old fashioned, but it was kind of weird.
I don't know what's an old fashioned either, but isn't that the drink he made Jess that one time at the loft?
Yes.
So they just mentioned old fashions a lot. And then Cece had to make one, like to prove
she
could make a drink. Like there's other drinks, guys.
It must be something that means something.
Or writer. Yeah, on the show.
Yeah.
So that brings us to Honey Roast Award for the best character performance, inanimate object, crew member, etc. In a shocking turn of events, I am actually going to give mine to Megan Fox / Reagan, because although I don't like the arc, they had to do something with Jess gone, but I wasn't crazy about it because, you know, takes Nick away from Jess. But I think at the start, this episode, her complete contrast against everybody else, although she's a little Cece-like, the calling out everybody for, oh, you were a fat child. Oh, you have a cat. Like, it's obvious how like stern she is with her pharmaceutical sales. I thought it was all funny and enjoyable. It just, as it goes on, it's not my favorite. There are a lot of Reagan, the character haters, out there, and they don't.
Oh, there are.
Storyline. Yeah. And I can understand why, but I just think if you isolate this episode, I thought it was really interesting and fun what they did with her. And so for that reason,
right. And the arc is like the writer's fault. It's not Megan Fox / Reagan's fault.
No, and Megan Fox gets a lot of hate as it is because I think she just looks like, as they, people say, a resting bitch face. Like,
right.
She just looks kind of like she'd be mean. But if you remember when we interviewed the costume designer, she said of all the guest stars, Megan Fox was the sweetest, kindest, best person that she dressed.
She raved
about her. And I almost didn't know what to say because I was just like, oh, I got so flustered because you hear such bad things just because she's pretty, you know?
I was flustered too.
Okay.
Well, this was before Machine Gun Kelly.
Correct.
Well, so she was still with, she was with Brian Austin Green during this time.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that's relevant, but.
Well, you're saying,
Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah, she was nice when she was with Brian Austin Green. Now she's a little crazy because she's with Machine Gun Kelly.
Okay.
Heather, who's your honey roast award? Heves?
What?
Your honey roast award?
Oh. Nick's groupie.
Oh, I like it. That would be me. I could have played that part.
You would have done a good job in that role.
Joe, who gets your honey roast?
I think it's going to be the tandem of Nick and Winston, because the one-liners, if you got closed caption, you really do appreciate this episode, because like Nick says, did you hear that? Winston's like, yeah, I'm sitting closer than you are. The Nicholas for long. And then the part where Nick wants to give Reagan the tour. And he's like, I'll give the rest of the tour. And Winston, you don't have to come. And he's like, but I want to.
Yeah. Literally, no one wants you to come on the tour.
I think this was the first episode that I can remember where those two had banter so direct, like more than any other time. Pinch me when I'm dreaming. He pinches him in the hospital, you know. So, and then they're at the bar and lifting the keg up, you know, for Winston and all this other stuff. So I think those two that get the honey roast.
You make a good
point. Those are good catches, Joe.
Because for being like best friends that go way back, a lot of their scenes are with the group or in flashback. It's not a lot of times just the two of them. Yeah. Like Nick and Schmidt have a ton of just Nick.
Nick, it's almost every episode Nick and Schmidt.
Winston and Schmidt have a lot of scenes considering they thought they couldn't work together without Nick. You got Winston and Jess, Winston and Cece. So that's a good point, Joe. It's a combination we don't see enough of, I think.
Nice.
So I'll be honest with you, I basically stopped looking for the Bears, but I'm so embarrassed because someone DM'd us on our last episode, which was the one where Nick's cousins wanted him to have the baby. And they're like, I was seriously dying as you guys kept saying the Bears onesie. It's okay to be a Bears fan.
Oh my God.
We were literally saying bear in the podcast, not realizing it was the bear reference.
That's like the time we missed Teddy Ruxpin.
That was a rough one.
That was the most obvious of all.
So stupid. We're not great at that part.
No, I didn't we're catch not.
Bears, did you guys?
No, I didn't catch any.
No, not in this one.
I'm sure we've said it earlier in the podcast and we'll feel dumb later.
Yeah.
So that brings us to discussion question. Mine is, as Nick is usually hooking up with younger girls and he dated Kai and stuff, why is he suddenly looking for magic?
Yeah, that didn't make sense.
Joe, do you have a theory? You're a boy.
Well, I think because him and Jess had magic, and then he's looking for that same type of thing. But all the weird girls he's dated hasn't really produced the magic that Jess did. So he's probably just looking for that again.
And that was my theory, too, is because Jess is gone, he's trying to fill a void, because even if they're not together, she still walks in and he feels a certain way. He sees her a certain way. She isn't the kind of beautiful that Megan Fox is. It's like a more wholesome, you know, caring sort of thing. But I just, that was my theory too, Joe. So that's interesting.
Interesting. You guys went deep on that.
Joe, do you have a discussion question?
Wait, aren't you guys going to ask me?
Oh, I did. And you said, you said that was weird. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Mine didn't compare to your guys', sorry.
Joe, do you have a discussion question? Why do we even do this on Zoom? Oh, we're almost out of time, so.
Oh, no.
Usually when Schmidt gave the, when Schmidt gave the non-ring to Cece, usually that's like, I'll tie a string around your finger, you know, some kind of symbolism. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then he goes, I'll get you the ring the size of a raisin. Isn't a raisin small?
Yeah.
So that didn't make any sense.
A prune would be better.
Yeah.
But yeah. Or even an almond or something. But, so have you ever gotten a fake ring? You know how there's like friendship rings, trust rings, promise rings. I mean, do you believe in all that different trust, promise, future, whatever it may be, rings?
Well, I kind of don't, but I'm also not going to stop other people from getting jewelry. But I will say that Joe proposed to me with a necklace. So that I could go pick out my ring with him.
Oh, like that's Cece nice.
And Schmidt, we're going to go pick out their ring. And I picked out a gorgeous ring. So I think that, well, proposing to someone with a ring is fine too. If it is something you're literally going to wear every day for the rest of your life, it's nice to have some input.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think,
Joe? You're always a class act. But
I mean, look at him right now. Look how put together he is. Yeah.
It screams class act, yes.
All right, go ahead, have some sad time.
I don't know. It's hard because it's like a 50-50 split, the surprise element or the, you know, either way it should work out because usually when people get 20 years, they replace it anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like they get a huge diamond.
Does that mean Joe owes me a new ring even though we're not married?
Yeah. Her friend got that pink diamond when she got to 20 years.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. There's all kinds of different colored ones, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Habs, do you have a discussion question before we run out of time? Just one.
Yes. Favorite Megan Fox role? Go.
This one.
Oof. Wait, what was she in?
I can't think of anything other than Jennifer's Body.
She was on, wasn't she in that Fox show?
New Girl.
So besides New Girl, I thought there was another one.
She was in a Machine Gun Kelly video. I thought she did good. She's been in a ton of stuff. I just can't say. I mean, I haven't seen Transformers. Yeah. Like, she's just not in a lot of things I've seen.
Samesies, but I loved her in Eminem's Love the Way You Lie video.
Mm.
It's a story. And she's just, without saying a word, she's a phenomenal actress.
I think she's a great actress, and I think she doesn't get credit because she's so, like, hot. Not
she's
even
type, yeah, she's typecast too much because she plays those roles of that pretty girl, you know, and it might not be an expansive role. It might be, you know, the girl at the beach that the husband sees, or it might be the, you know, she's hard. I've never seen her in, a rom-com thing, you know, although I think you'd be good in a rom-com.
She's
never
like the girl next door or the girl who gets the guy. She's the girl who's stealing the guy.
It just like Winston said, a lot of action stuff, action movies.
Yeah and Winston, he's like, Nick met a girl out of his league. She's always that out of your league girl, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah
And then she's beautiful. So perfect already, and then she goes in and makes a perfect drink.
Exactly.
And she's an amazing saleswoman too.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're about out of time, so that'll be it. We won't see you guys. Well, we never see you guys. You won't hear us next week, but we'll be back the week after that. Heather, you're fine. We appreciate everybody's patience because I'm sure everyone's excited about this milestone year that Joe and I and Hevs are having. And we'll see you in 2 weeks for season 5, episode 7. We just do 6?
I don't know.
2 weeks for whatever episode's next. Have a great week, everybody. Bye.
Bye, everybody.